All right, for the first time in this Major League Baseball season, we're going to check in with our guy, Ryan Spilborgs. We talked to him last week, Ryan. We were hosting the morning show. So welcome to the Noon to 3 show, Stokely and Zach. We're thrilled to have you in the fold. Both Stoke and I are very big Rockies fans, and Spilly joins us courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Last night, Spilly was a late one. Obviously, you know that better than any of us. A lot of our listeners did not see how that actually ended in 13 innings, a loss 10-8 to the D-backs in a game in which they looked like they were in firm control of for the first half of it. Go ahead and walk through how that thing finished.
Well, I think I stopped shivering around 9 this morning because I was ill prepared for last night's game. I was wearing some, like, normal Lululemon ABC pants. I had some, like, Nike cold weather gear, like long johns underneath, and maybe some, like, semi-warm socks. But I wore tennis shoes that I got wet in a puddle, and
that's terrible.
I froze my froze my butt off.
Bad night for you.
It was a miserable night. Like, and I love baseball. Like, I love it. And the way that the Rockies lost last night, really disappointing, because those are the type of wins that they have to have. They cannot afford, especially with the margins that they're playing with right now, they can't afford to lose games like that. And the frustrating aspect is, you know, when you get into extra innings, the way that Major League Baseball has established the rule since last year, it's called the California extra inning rule. So in the 10th inning, so after 9 full innings, you go to the 10th, and that begins the California rule. The last batter of the previous inning, so the bottom of the ninth or the top of the ninth for the visiting team, the last out starts at second base. So he magically appears at second base, which is still funny. So if a pitcher gives up a base hit, that run scores. It does not count to his ERA. It's more of like a team earned run. So, you know, the Rockies, you get in these situations where there's some strategy involved. You know, do you bunt? What does the other team do? And it really kind of goes to a little bit different pace of the game, kind of similar to like what the NHL has done in overtime. And I like it. I don't mind it. It's not my favorite, but I'm not opposed to it. But there was an opportunity for the Rockies where you shut down the Diamondbacks, and the probability of scoring once you put a guy at second base is pretty high. So if you shut down the visiting team, you should, in theory, be in a really good position to win. And, you know, there's a good story for the kid for the Diamondbacks that came in, last name Peacock. He was out of baseball for a couple of years, worked for his parents' sawmill, which is just a fun story. So he had a wonderful debut. But that being said, the Rockies had the chance, first and third with one out. So you have the winning run in the bottom of the 11th inning, and they failed to do so, which has been kind of a microcosm of what's been so bad and ailing the Rockies offense the last couple of years. It's getting productive outs late in ball games or with runners in scoring position. That just continues to be an issue.
Spilly, speaking of the extras, you know, the California tiebreaker starting at second, how would you play it? I think there's different strategies, like you said. I know me, if I was the visiting team, and I was batting first, I would try to get one run in. I would try to bunt the guy over. And if I was the Rockies last night in the bottom of the 11th, after the visiting team doesn't score, I would absolutely try to bunt the guy over to get him to third with one out, or whatever the case may be. So that would kind of be my mindset. How would you handle it?
Yeah, it's a great question, Stoke, and it depends on what portion of the lineup you're in. Obviously, if I have Garrett Hampson, Trevor Story, and Charlie Blackman, I'm not bunting. I might force the issue. There's a push bunt in Garrett Hampson's game. If you're at the bottom of the lineup with the pinch hitter spot, the pinch hitter spot coming up, I may not do that. So, and it's such a great, you know, philosophical question, because everybody differs when it comes to the sacrifice bunt. I believe first and second, nobody out, is the only time to bunt, which from a pitching strategy, if I was to do something opposite, you know, most times we think that the opposition, you know, the team on offense should bunt. And in fact, a lot of the metrics suggest you're better off trying to score multiple runs in this scenario, even if you're the visiting team. And, you know, the best way to go about doing it is taking three cracks at it as a hitter and seeing what happens, because, you know, a base hit scores a run. Even if you're trying to move the runner over and you get a base hit, you know, that's a quality at bat versus trying to just sacrifice a bunt. And, you know, bunting's not easy. So another philosophy has been from the defensive side, which is walk the first batter, get the first and second nobody out, force the visiting team to now pull into play the bunt, because that truly is the best strategy when it comes to first and second nobody out. Or let them hit, which, you know, can lead to a double play, even if they're trying to move the runner over. So I love that strategy. I'm actually
Have you seen that, where they walk the first batter to start the inning to get first and second? I like that.
I've seen it happen a couple times, and it has worked. It has worked, and it's also not worked. So small sample size. I would say over the course, if I was to play that thing out 100 times, my belief is that the strategy of walking somebody to give first and second nobody out would probably end up being a slightly better percentage-wise of getting out of the inning than just going ahead and pitching.
Former Rocky Ryan Spielborgs and current member of the broadcast team there for the Rocks, joining us here live on Stokely and Zach, courtesy of Bet Rivers Sportsbook, McGill's Hotel and Casino. Last night on the broadcast, I watched the COO, Greg Fiesel, say that they are projecting, with the All-Star game coming to Coors Field, that for the city of Denver, it could be an injection of between $150 and $200 million. Obviously, the circumstances leading up to it, you know, there's a lot of, you know, talk on both sides. We're on Sports Talk Radio, so we choose to keep it sports. But just the injection of, you know, and Spilly, let me be honest. This offseason, and even right now, it's been a very negative tone around this franchise. Do you feel I use the word injection of spirit and positivity based off this news that we've gotten here in the last 48, 72 hours?
I hope so for small business in the surrounding, you know, area of Coors Field, and just thinking about the trickle-down effect of dollars being spent going to a Rockies game for other businesses like gas stations and you name it, Uber drivers, parking lots.
Yep.
I think it's really important for us not to get so caught up in the personal aspect of a trade and what that means, and maybe the frustration level of the franchise, and look at the overall benefit towards our city. But I understand it. I mean, I totally get it. You know, I certainly have some emotions, you know, when I see a franchise face of the franchise play for another team. But I also recognize the business aspect of it. You know, in a vacuum for Denver, the All-Star game is really, really beneficial. I don't know if the numbers will project out between $100 and $200 million, because it's also based off of the previous All-Star games, where you've had time to lead up to it, ramp up, and take advantage of people traveling. So I don't know what that looks like in July. I won't pretend to have a crystal ball. But whatever comes here, you know, to me, it's bittersweet, because I recognize, as much as I want it in our backyard, I also recognize that it's taken away from another.
Right.
And that's, you know, that's the reality of it. You know, I wish we had this under different circumstance. I'm really grateful that we have it. But I also recognize that there are some, you know, big variables out there and some undertones that are really difficult to ignore. But if I'm a casual fan, it doesn't come that often. Last time we had it was in 1998, and I still remember it because I was in high school and I was a kid and I was in love with the game. Don't take that away from what the All-Star game is. Don't lose sight of what seeing the best athletes in our sport playing in our backyard with our backdrop, with our wonderful city and state, regardless of how you feel about ownership.
Very well said. From top to bottom. Hey, we're really looking forward to continue to check in with you, Spilly. And like I said, Stoke and I are...
Spilly, you got that hookup for two? Put your tickets on that thing or what, man? Huh?
It depends. On a Tuesday game midweek, I got you, Stoke.
Oh, appreciate you, buddy.
Hey, have a great day, man. Look forward to talking to you soon.
All right. Good job, you guys.
All right, there he goes.